You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, we are into hour two on a game day. Our final road game day of the season. Flames and the Canucks, game 81 of 82. 7 o'clock, Flames warm up with Pat Steinberg. 8 o'clock, puck drop with Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson right here on your home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960. Just one more time before it's all said and done on Thursday. And we'll put a wrap on the 2023-2024 season. All your Flames content in hour one, including hearing from head coach Ryan Huska and Michael Backlund on a game day. Can tell you Jacob Markstrom gets the start against his former team. Ilya Solovyov and Adam Klapka, both in the lineup tonight. Walker Dewar and Nikita Ochocek will come out for tonight's matchup. Still no Blake Coleman. Hopefully he can get in Thursday as he chases down 30-goal milestone. Satyar Shah from Sportsnet 650 joined us to talk all things Canucks as well. If you missed any of it, check us on the podcast. Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite pod catcher. We're in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios with my outstanding producers, Cam and Shan. And we're kicking off hour two, one of the best chats of the week. Very happy to welcome in down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, our pal Ailish Forfar, Sportsnet 590, and of course, host of the Fan Pregame Show on Sportsnet. What's up, Ailish? How are you?
Hey, last regular season chat that we're going to have. I'm excited.
I know. We've got a lot of exciting playoff hockey to look forward to. Not much in Calgary, but we're still excited. Playoff hockey is still fun. It's just not as fun if you're not in it.
Mm-hmm. No, seriously. Like this tonight, at least, we're just prepping for our show now. Like, all of the different situations that can happen just in tonight and tomorrow games in terms of like clinching scenarios, winning divisions, who's going to play who. Like, this has actually been a really fun stretch to the finish. Obviously, you know, mostly focused on getting Matthews 70. But when you look around the rest of the league, like there's a lot of really important games. I was watching the Detroit Red Wings last night, like a D-gen, but I had to watch because I wanted to see them come back and they did it. Like, I love watching a team that has like everything at stake, and there's a couple of those games tonight, so it'll be a big split screen viewing tonight for us.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, you and me have talked about this playoff race in the East and who do we trust and who do we not really trust, and I still don't know how it's all going to work out and who I actually think is best for that spot, but I don't know. It's kind of fun that Washington, Detroit, Pittsburgh, and Philly all at game 81 played still have something to play for, and we get to have this fun before the playoffs even starts. It's not like that in the West.
100%. Like, you know, sometimes you just know you're locked in for a while, and there's that stretch of hockey, maybe from like February till the early part of April, where, whatevs. Like, you know, you're going to make the playoffs. But this stretch of hockey with those four teams needing to be scoreboard watching, someone needs to win in regulation, this other team has like a six-way tiebreaker. Like, that's awesome. This is going to be really fun. I don't even know. Like, we're trying to put our best bets together for tonight. And, you know, you're just like, well, which team wants it more? And they all really want it more. Yeah. It's just like, which team deserves it is an interesting one. Like, which team do you actually want to see make it through? Like, the Capitals are not a good hockey team, but they're right there. Like, do you just kind of want to see it for the chaos? Like, it's a really interesting night ahead. Obviously, the Leafs taking on the Panthers as well, and they could be playing each other in the first round. There's a lot riding on Matthews maybe getting just one more goal. So, it's going to be a fun one.
Do you have a feel for which of those four teams you'd like to see in the most, or one that you have the most faith in now that you've kind of dove into it a little bit?
So if it's between the Capitals, the Red Wings, the Penguins, and the Flyers, obviously like a heart pick, I think I would want to actually see the Red Wings. I just like to think hockey in Detroit is a different beast. They are such a passionate fan base. They do have some really talented players, obviously, that perform at big moments. I know we talked about this last week. Obviously, seeing Sidney Crosby play playoff games, I certainly want to see that. That one's a little bit less, like, I guess, likely at this point. I think they need the most things to break. But the Red Wings taking that game from, like, the grasp of the lowly Montreal Canadiens last night, willing their way in to the OT winner, I thought, damn, like that would be a fun team to watch. And they're talented enough to actually maybe do something in the postseason. I don't think the Capitals are good enough to even, you know, compete in a playoff round. The Flyers, I think, are just happy to kind of be here. I think they didn't expect to be this close to a playoff push. So they would probably be fine with, not fine, but they would probably be less affected by missing. But the Red Wings, I think, are always that team, at least in the Eastern Conference, that it's them, the Sabres, and the Sens every year that you're like, one of these teams needs to make a step. One of these teams needs to get better when we're looking at like the Atlantic. And I'm always looking at the Red Wings to be a team that finally does something. So I kind of want them to make a little bit of a push and make a little bit of noise. I just also think hockey in Detroit, their fan base, it would be really, really fun. You know, obviously those stretches where they were a powerhouse, like I just think so many good rivalries were born from that. So we'll see tonight. I think they have a lot to play for against the Montreal Canadiens once again. This is like a little home and home, so they could really end the season off on a high note. So I think I would be leaning Detroit and also leaning Detroit just because I think it's probably the most likely case. But we are talking the Philadelphia Flyers and Capitals. I think the Flyers have to win in regulation. So if the Capitals are ahead, like let's say, or it's even tied 2-2 or something, like you'd have to pull your goalie and try to win in regulation if you're the Flyers, which would just be super fun chaos. I know Jeff Merrick loves that, like pulling your goalie with like 6 minutes left. So yeah, there's a lot of ways that this could unfold tonight. But the worst case scenario is you're the Penguins and you're sitting at home watching. You have no control over anything. Oh. You just have to kind of sit there and watch everybody else control your destiny. That's the last place you want to be in. You want to be the team. You want to be on the ice. You want to say, hey, in this locker room, let's look around. We need to perform tonight. Like it's in our hands. And I think that's what we're going to see tonight with a couple of these teams.
You mentioned Leafs are in action against the Panthers. Every time like the week comes up and we chat, it feels like it's changed. At one time it was like, oh, it's going to be the Bruins. And now last week, I think we were like, it's definitely going to be the Panthers. Now it could be either of them. So there's no point in going down the road of who are the Leafs going to play. But I'm curious, do you want to see a playoff like push from the Leafs tonight? Like, do you really want them sending a message against Florida tonight to try and, you know, set it up if these are the two teams that meet in round one?
Oh, I'm so torn on this one. In one sense, an interesting thing I saw last night, I was watching the Bruins and Capitals, and the Bruins gave, I don't know, a 60% effort last night. And I'm thinking, are they trying to blow this so they play the Leafs? Like, I don't actually think that's too crazy of a statement because they could have won this division and clinched and they haven't. And now they play the Sens. And yeah, like the Sens, as we've talked about, aren't the greatest of teams, but like they are jockeying with Florida for the top spot, which means that there's a potential the Leafs play the Bruins and then the Panthers would play the Lightning, which I actually think would be an awesome first round in terms of just like storylines. So you can't control what the Bruins are doing, but I just thought it was a bit sneaky yesterday. Well, you got 16 shots against the Capitals. You couldn't muster anything. I was on to them. Anyway, got shut out by the Capitals. Interesting. Okay, in terms of tonight's game, though, against the Panthers, it's a strange one because obviously Matthews scoring 70 is probably top of mind for every player in that locker room. Max Domi's not going to be playing. Bobby McMahon's not playing. Poor Jake McCabe's face is hanging on by a thread. Oof. And you're starting Joseph Wall. So the Leafs are like actually kind of dealing with a little bit of a pre-postseason lull here in terms of some injuries. And like you never want that to be the case. But I think some of that has to do with a little bit of like rest and just management. But I definitely think the Leafs should go hard enough tonight to get Matthew 70 to send a message that they're not afraid of the Panthers, whether they play the Panthers in the first round or not, and not, you know, do anything out of the ordinary. I don't need Reeves to fight anyone. I just think you want to send a message because tomorrow night you play the Lightning, and that's like, you know, if Matthews gets 70 tonight, I don't anticipate him playing. I think you kind of can take the easy way out there. But this is your last, like, test, and you know, if they play Saturday night game one against the Panthers, wouldn't you want that last taste in your mouth against that team to be like, oh, we dominated them in their barn, or we matched up well, or we left a lasting imprint that we're not going to go out the way we did last time? There's a lot of scars between both the Panthers and the Bruins. Obviously, the Bruins ones are a little deeper, but maybe the Panthers ones are a little fresher. So I think you really got to show enough of your cards that this isn't a joke game for you. And I think it's been laid out perfectly that you're chasing something for Matthews tonight. You know, protect him from the shenanigans. But I don't know. I don't like the idea of mailing anything in. If anything, yeah, you can mail tomorrow in. It's the last game of the year. I guess it's Tampa. You're not going to end up with them. But tonight, I think, is a little bit of pride on the line.
A couple of off-ice things I wanted to chat with you about. I don't know how much you and me have talked about the Coyotes situation and just kind of how weird it's been the last, 10 years, really, but how weird it's really gotten. Yeah, the last little while here. What was kind of your reaction over the last week or so with all this news, and it feels like the impending announcement that they're heading to Salt Lake City next year?
Yeah, you know, like, I really do feel for Arizona Coyotes fans, and you can jokingly be like, which ones? But I do know that, like, this is it's a really unique market, and there's players from Arizona, and whether it's like the hottest growth market or not, it's still one. And yeah, it's been embarrassing to see them play at Mullet Arena. And yeah, it's been embarrassing to see some of the issues that they've had off the ice. And now you're hearing about them not paying their rent or paying their hotel bills. And like, it's a bad look. But I'm just so surprised at the speed in which this move to Salt Lake City is going to happen. Like, it sounds like tomorrow there's going to be like a Board of Governors call, and maybe that's as quick as it happens. Like, it's just, I hope that this is something that we don't look back on as just a move for move's sake. Like, if it's going to move and thrive in Salt Lake City, then I'd love to see it. I also think the Salt Lake City market, like, I don't know too much about it. Is it going to be that much better than Arizona? I would love to be proved that that is the case, but it just seemed like it happened really, really abruptly. I feel for the players mostly too, because you've now decided that Arizona is your home and you've gone through a hell of a season or two or three, and now you're getting uprooted to Salt Lake City, and I'm sure it's beautiful, and I'm sure there's some funny jokes to be made about some of the rules and Salt Lake City and Mormons. But like, I don't know. I really do feel for the players that have to kind of uproot. And I wonder how stuff with like a no trade clause and how all that works into place when all of a sudden your team moves. And obviously this has happened before, but it feels like this happened so quickly. And I know there's a lot to be said about the million or the $1 billion that is going to be, made or given half back to the ownership. Like, I think a lot of the bad luck is on the owner's hands for all this. And it seems like he's going to kind of get off with like, what, $600 million or something like that. That to me doesn't seem fair. I hope a fresh start means a lot of reinvigoration for this team. I hope the fan base will not be like really bitter about it, but I don't blame them for being bitter about it. It's abrupt. It just seems like the way it was set up wasn't really for success this whole time. I will say one other thing that's been surprising me is like the idea that they go to Salt Lake City and then come back in like 5 to 10 years. Like, oh, that to me is, I would not want to be coming back. It's like going back to your ex. Oh, hey, here I am. Like, I've changed. Yeah, I've changed. It's like, no, you haven't. So, it's so messy. And, you know, we had Jeff Merrick on yesterday, and I was like, can you just, like, tell me what you know? And even he's like, you know, there's still a lot of things we have yet to learn. The speed of this is alarming. But if you got the money and you've got the place for it, I guess that sometimes the NHL can make things go quickly when sometimes they decide not to make other things go quickly. But I think Utah Yeti could be a really good thing.
Oh, I don't mind that.
The Utah Yeti, you've got like a cool Yeti-looking mascot. He rips around the stands. Maybe you've got like a teal, purpley color scheme. Like, I think it could be fun, but I hope that it's not I think it needs to take massive strides forward right away, because you can't have an Arizona 2.0 if you're just going to move to a couple states over. Do you know what I mean?
100%. Yeah. And if, you know, from the dorky side of me that loves like jerseys and logos and stuff, I'm like, yeah, I'm really excited about that. Like, that's the funnest part of this entire thing, is that it's going to happen again, especially because we're losing a really good one. I grew up loving the Coyotes one.
Yeah, you're losing one of the best ever jerseys, ever, ever, ever. I have one of those. And
yes.
like they're just, you know, it's really, it's a cool vintage thing that now is even more vintage. But you got a new opportunity to do a rebrand. And I just hope that like the market and everyone's ready to embrace it and really like make it succeed, because what was the point of all this if it's still going to be like a middling franchise. So yeah. I'm super curious, and I think we're coming at it with a bit of a skeptical look, and I think we deserve to have that because of the speed of all this. But, you know, prove us wrong, I guess.
Ilias Forfar, Sportsnet, and the host of the Fan Pregame Show, also on 590's coverage of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Don Granato fired by the Sabres, sixth coach fired since 2013. They haven't made the playoffs in 13 seasons now. Their season is done. You guys have a better perspective of it out east, and that relationship with the Leafs and the Sabres is always an interesting one, packing that barn every time the Leafs are in town. But does any part of you feel bad for what's happened in Buffalo and the fact that they've been on this track? Like, it feels like they've been a young and up-and-coming team for so long, but they can never make that next step.
Yeah, I mean, that's 13 straight years without making the playoffs. They have so much young talent. Like this is what I was just talking about with the Red Wings and the Senators and the Sabres. Every year it's the sexy pick for them to make a jump. And they have the talent. They've got some really awesome players. They've got, you know, Tage Thompson, Dalin, Quinn, Mittelstadt. Like, they've got some really great players. But if your team isn't taking any strides forward and they significantly regress this year, I just think that things have to happen. I have a couple friends that are really big Sabres fans because they just like to be different. And they're just like relieved today because it's a fresh start, but you got to nail it. You have to nail it with this next coach because bad habits have sunk in, a lackluster attention to detail. You have young stars that haven't been held accountable or pushed or even prepared in the right way. So like, this is a really pivotal summer for the Buffalo Sabres. I want this rivalry to be back at its best. It's so much fun when the Leafs and the Sabres play each other because you do have friends that are Sabres fans. You could get to the border in an hour and a half and go fill their barn.
Yeah.
You love that rivalry, but it sucks when the team isn't even a threat. And so I really hope that this is the start of a bit of a changing turning of the tides. Don Granato, it unfortunately was kind of his time. It was time to hear a new voice, and you see that all the time in sports. So I don't think too surprised by it, but hopefully maybe the start of something better, because the Sabres and the Sens both being at the bottom of the league basically this year wasn't fun for rivalry. It's those are sometimes like the most affordable tickets too for Toronto fans to go and watch games in Ottawa or go to Buffalo, and you just want to feel like you're getting a competitive a team. So my Sabres friends are happy, and that means that in conjunction with them, I am happy.
That's good to hear. And I imagine you're pretty happy on Sunday, too. It's always good to watch the girls come out with a big victory
over
the Americans. It was so nerve-wracking, that third period. All of a sudden, it's 5-5, and we have, of course, the great Megan Mickelson, who does our color voices this year, and she was doing pregame, and I don't even know how she was concentrating, because we had the TV on watching our ladies and the Americans going at it on Sunday, and then, of course, in overtime, is dramatic fashion. I mean, honestly, I don't think Marie-Philippe Poulin is human. I think she is a hockey-created robot that does not face pressure or fear or anything, because that woman, every single time, I don't even know how to describe. It's just, if it's not a gold medal game, she just doesn't score. It's unbelievable what she does every single time. And the rest of the roster was so fun. I mean, look, 6-5 was a little bit heartbreaking and like nerve-wracking. Yes, but we won and it was so much fun.
Oh my God. It was the best Team Canada, Team USA final that I can remember. Like, and that's including the Olympics, the World Championships, the rivalry series. That was absolutely incredible. The back and forth action. Yeah, the clutch moments. You got Poulin, you got Knight. And then for it to be Danielle Sardakny, who is going to be one of the top, probably five or top three draft picks this upcoming season in the PWHL. So remember her name. For her to get that golden goal, she was a Colgate grad, and she's only like 22 years old. It's insane. So to think about her getting that moment, everything about that game was electric. The fact that last year I was at the World Championships here in Brampton and USA beat Canada, and then they get to go do it in their barn and beat USA, like, the back and forth nature of these two, you know, global empires in hockey getting to share the stage, this was a sweet one for the girls. I know they sallied really hard and deservingly so. It took a day and a half to get some responses from the gals, but they're working on getting back into it, because this weekend too, like, I'm going to Montreal to watch the Montreal game that's going to be at the Bell Center. And yeah, I'm so fired up. That one's going to set the all-time attendance record again. So now I'll get to say I've been at all three of the attendance records, the Toronto one, the Detroit one, and then now this Montreal one. So I'll be in Montreal this weekend to see the Montreal girls play. And it's against Toronto again. So these two are the top of the standings at PWHL. They just came off a huge win and I guess a big loss for some of the girls over in Utica. So, yeah, it just gets going back again. And I'll say one thing about this tournament. I certainly noticed right away that the level of play was, like, I think you could fairly say, like, a 15 to 20% increase. And I think that's 100% due to the PWHL. These girls are now full-time professional hockey players. They're not having to go home and you know, write up lessons plans because they're teachers. They're not having to go figure out their own training, their own physio, their own nutrition. Like, they are fully hockey players. And the level of play, like, showed that. Even yeah, not even the Canadian and Americans, the Czech team, the Finnish team, the Japanese team, everybody had taken a step up because they're playing in the best league, all against the best players every single night. And so I think if you think of that was good hockey now, wait 2-3 more years when they've been playing in this league for full seasons and they're getting better and better and they're pushing each other against the best talent. So I think early returns just showed right away that having this league cooking with all the best players in it, it raised that international level of hockey. So I'm super excited to see how the PWHL season ends, because now we get back into it. There's a final couple games before the playoffs, and then somebody will get to be the Walter Cup champion for the first time ever. So really excited to go to Montreal this weekend and see them. Hopefully they're all fully recovered by then.
They should be, but they deserve to sally after that one. It was great to see on Sunday, and glad to be back on top where they should be. Ailish, you're the best. Yeah. Always appreciate the chat. Enjoy the hockey this week. We'll chat with playoff hockey coming up, but have a great trip to Montreal too, and we'll chat with you next week.
And hopefully Matthews gets his 70th
yes,
tonight, all right?
You know we'll be texting about it.
Okay, perfect.
See
have
you
a good week.
Bye now. Ailish Forfar joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, host of the Fan pregame show on Sportsnet and on Leafs broadcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Yes, Leafs and the Florida Panthers, part of the NHL schedule tonight. They could still meet in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Still to be determined as the Panthers and the Boston Bruins fight for supremacy in their division. Bruins are also in action. They're taking on the lowly Ottawa Senators at 5 o'clock to kick things off. So still lots to be determined. We'll dive into more of that when we come back. Actually, we'll take our final break of the program and dive into our playoff clinching scenarios for this Tuesday. Plus, Shannon will get you ready for another edition of the Jays and the Yankees coming your way later tonight. That and Sportsnet Today returns here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. All right, final reminder of the Flames and the Vancouver Canucks coming your way Tuesday night. Taco Tuesday.
I love Taco Tuesday. What?
I know what you were going to do.
What was I going to do? Talk about how it's Tuesday.
Shut
it's
up.
Tuesday, brother.
Don't start.
What's up, brother?
The fact that you brought that on this show means you're never talking again.
You said it.
No, I said it for reference of Taco Tuesday.
But then you said don't do it. And if you say don't do it, I have to do it.
No, it means don't do it.
Well, I can't. I had to. You gave me no choice.
God, you're the worst. Actually, Cam's the worst, but you're pretty close.
What a drive-by.
Cam, I'm not going to say that. Never mind.
Careful.
Sports.
Busy night in the NHL. Flames, Canucks, part of a 8 games on the NHL schedule tonight.
That was some fast counting.
Thank you.
Good math, buddy.
That's the one thing I'm not good at. I'm just kidding. I'm bad at a lot of things, including math.
Yeah.
Steinberg, Flames talk. Flames warm up at 7. 8 o'clock, Derek Wills, Megan Mickelson get you set for the Flames and the Canucks. Jacob Markstrom starts against his former team. Solovyov and Klapka in for Ochocek and Walker Dewar. Canucks part of the NHL clinching scenarios on this Tuesday. Let's go through some of them tonight, Shane, because it's a busy one with lots of implications still on the line, lots of matchups still to be determined.
Yep.
Here's what we can tell you can happen tonight. The Washington Capitals will clinch a playoff berth if they defeat the Philadelphia Flyers in any fashion. That one on Sportsnet tonight. It's a 5 o'clock puck drop on the Sportsnet television network. Make sure you're tuned in for the Capitals and the Flyers. It's going to be a massive game in the Eastern Conference. Capitals in with a win over the Flyers in any fashion. Red Wings can find themselves into the playoffs if they beat the Habs in any fashion and the Capitals lose to the Flyers in any fashion. So that's still to be determined as well. So the Capitals have to lose. Red Wings have to win. Both of those teams still fighting for that. Penguins play tomorrow. They're idle, unfortunately, in this whole thing. So that's the clinching scenarios for the playoff spots still up for grabs in the East. Bruins can clinch the Atlantic Division if they defeat the Senators in any fashion or if they're able to pick up a point and the Panthers lose to the Maple Leafs. Panthers will clinch the Pacific Division if they beat the Leafs and the Bruins lose to the Senators. Or if they pick up a point and the Bruins lose in regulation. So you could have your Atlantic Division champions tonight. That's what's happening in the East. In the West, Shan, the Dallas Stars, who do not play tonight, they'll clinch the West if the Canucks lose to the Flames in any fashion tonight. Well, the Canucks will clinch the Pacific Division with at least 1 point against the Flames. Jets clinch number 2 in the Central Division if they get at least 1 point against the Seattle Kraken. That's important, because that would give them home ice advantage against the Colorado Avalanche in round one. Here are your matchups that could get locked down tonight. I won't go through all of the clinching scenarios. I went through them earlier, but you could have these determined tonight. We could see Rangers-Capitals if the Caps lock in their playoff berth.
Four-game series.
If the Red Wings get in, it could be Rangers-Red Wings set. We'll figure out what's happening in the Atlantic as well. If we get Bruins Lightning, Panthers Leafs, or if it's Panthers Lightning, how about that? Wouldn't a Battle of Florida round one be a lot of fun?
It would be a lot of fun.
And that would also set up the Bruins and the Leafs.
I still would like to see Leafs Panthers.
Yeah, that's I mean.
And I honestly think that tonight's game, the Panthers, there's no puck out there. We're bullying the Leafs for 60 minutes, and we're going to go into playoffs. If that's the matchup, I'd want the Leafs to be scared, because that Panthers team is, they are giant. They play hard and they can bully anybody.
I don't think that's the worst idea if you're the Panthers.
No.
And by the way, I've mentioned a couple times, but Canucks versus Predators will happen if the Canucks get 1 point. There's still some wiggle room that happens with them in Dallas that can set up some different matchups, but a point gets the Canucks set with the Predators. So if it goes to overtime and the Canucks lose tonight, they get the Predators in round one. So that's kind of been maybe the thinking of Vancouver. Just get it to OT, let the Flames get the extra point and set up the Canucks and the Predators round one, because they still have a chance to catch the Dallas Stars, as I mentioned, and potentially set up a matchup with Vegas or LA in round one. So, because I did have a texter text in earlier, pointing out that, hey, can't Nashville be taken out of wild card one? Vegas can still technically catch them because Nashville's got all 82 in the books. No, it doesn't work that way. The way it works out, because Vegas is technically still battling with LA for that final spot in the Pacific Division. The Kings can't catch Nashville because they've got 81 games played already and Nashville owns the tiebreaker. So Vegas is either finishing wild card 2 or Pacific Division 3. So Nashville is locked into to wild card 1. They just don't know whether it's the potential of the Vancouver Canucks or the Dallas Stars, and maybe some other weird fashion something else happens. But that's pretty much where we're standing on this Tuesday. Your games look like this, if I didn't mention them as part of the clinching scenario. Sens, Bruins, Hurricanes, and Blue Jackets. Carolina resting literally about 8 of their regulars in that game tonight against Columbus.
And still the better team.
Yep. Detroit's in Montreal for a big game for the Red Wings. I mentioned Capitals, Flyers on Sportsnet. Panthers and Maple Leafs go at 5:30. Seattle's in Winnipeg to take on the Jets. Sportsnet 360 has the Chicago Blackhawks in Vegas to take on the Golden Knights at 8. And, of course, Sportsnet West, your home of the Flames and the Vancouver Canucks.
I'd like to bring someone up here. We talked about this briefly off air. The play yesterday, the Shane Goss despair at the blue line with the net empty, making the Odell Beckham one-handed catch, keeping the puck in the zone, and then Lucas Raymond scores to tie it. If, in some crazy hypothetical world, the Wings made the playoffs and then went on to win the Stanley Cup, I am attaching a statue of that to the outside of Little Caesars Arena. I think it is that important of a play. That is an absolute dog move to do that at the blue line when if the puck goes over your head, that game's over and you pretty much miss the playoffs. I don't think we are talking about that play enough.
Lucas Raymond gets some credit too.
Absolutely.
He tied it and then won it in OT. The game tire last night got Little Caesars Arena buzzing.
Like
Red Wings dangerous. Down low it comes. Left circle. Raymond in front. Score! Woo-hoo! Lucas Raymond ties it up. 117-0 in regulation with a goaltender pulled, and it's 4-4.
That's the most appropriate reaction to that.
That was the Red Wings broadcast, if you weren't if you weren't certain.
Did he call that from a roller coaster?
It was not the it was not the Montreal call, and they were equally excited when Raymond scored in OT.
Over the blue line to Dylan Larkin. Now to Raymond. He shoots. He scores! Oh, my goodness! Lucas Raymond wins the game for Detroit in overtime! Final score, Red Wings 5, Montreal 4, and Lucas Raymond has done it again.
Yeah. Gotta love the color guy jumping in with the scores first.
Yeah.
Listen here, you're going to say you hear somebody score, but it's not the play-by-play guy.
Over the blue line to Dylan Larkin. Now to Raymond. He shoots!
Oh, man.
It's still not as good as this part, though.
Left circle, Raymond in front. Score!
That's amazing.
That's how it sounded. My first time on the roller coaster at Callaway Park. Same thing.
Yeah, I believe that.
Playoffs, man.
I mean,
it makes you do silly things and gets you going.
It's been a playoff atmosphere in almost all of those barns for the last 2 weeks. I remember the Pittsburgh Washington game about a week and a half ago. That game was like I thought people were gonna break the boards down. It's just this whole race with some of the worst playoff teams that we're seeing here has been incredible.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're not done yet. We'll have a better picture Wednesday of what's going to happen, but just get more excited for playoff hockey as it's on the horizon here as the NHL regular season comes to an end on Thursday. Funny, you want to bring this up too. We haven't talked about this, so I know we'll talk about it more once it becomes official. We were chatting with Ailish here an hour or two, and she had mentioned maybe they're the Utah Yetis.
Yeah.
And a couple people text in at 960-960 about that. It's the fan feedback line, which is always open to you. This text immediately said no to the Utah Yetis. And then this text said, people keep saying Utah Yeti, but wouldn't the Avalanche have something to say about
it's
that?
It's a good point. It's a good point. Utah Yeti, I mean, like I guess, but Utah Yetis, it rolls off the tongue. It's like a weird hockey name. A Yeti? I guess, you know, they play on ice. It makes a bit of sense. I'm trying to talk myself into it here, but I don't hate it. I just don't love it. I think you could do some really cool things with the logo.
The Salt Lake Tribune put out 50 possible names for Salt Lake's NHL team.
You going to rattle them off?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say that's too many.
But I will give you some of the 50. And hey, good on this writer for putting them together.
Some of these are a bit of a stretch, though.
Some of these aren't good.
Okay.
Like the Cinnamon Bears.
or the
which is apparently is an animal in Utah and other states.
Not very well. It doesn't sound very
intimidating. It's a subspecies of the American black bear.
Right.
But I don't know that it inspires fear. Like Cinnamon Bear was my nickname in high school.
Yeah.
Hey, right? Man, you want to go down see the Cinnamon Bears play?
Yeah, that's that doesn't sound.
Let's go, Cinny Bears. Let's go, Cinny Bears. You could do so many fun cinnamon themed concession things, though.
Oh, 100%. I just Cinnamon Bears is not a that can't happen.
Like there's and then there's this one. Like 50 is just too many, and you're gonna get some like these. Like number 26, Butchers. That's
probably not.
That's not gonna work. Don't see that one working. Just like the Sliders.
We're not baseball.
Don't like that.
Nope. This is hockey.
And the reasoning for Sliders was best known as a small hamburger, but the puck slides and Salt Lake Sliders slides right off the tongue.
All
right.
Nope.
It's a quiet day in Salt Lake.
That's pretty brutal.
Like some of them are not, the storm.
That one is okay, but it's just, that's a typical name. I want something better.
I didn't mind this one, the Skateful Dead.
Oh my God.
I think they're getting a lawsuit pretty quick after that.
It's creative, I guess.
What other ones were on here?
The Salt Lake Shakers, as in Schultz.
Yeah.
Alliteration, says the writer.
Yeah, I mean, the 36, the Wood Rats. The writer writes, have no clue what these are, but they sound difficult to deal with.
I'm convinced. Do we have any good ones?
No.
Oh.
This there's
like 50 bad
there
ones?
There was 50 on here. Coyotes was one of the options. Like this one, Shan. Raptors.
No.
They'd have to check in with the Hoop Dudes in Toronto.
Yep, that's what they are, the Hoop Dudes.
That's a real article from the Salt Lake Tribune that I just read to you, where option 49 is the Raptors.
The Hoop Dudes.
Where they'd have to check in with the Hoop Dudes in Toronto.
Woof.
Like, you thought I was kidding that Cinnamon Bears might have been the best option?
I did.
I'm actually pro Cinnamon Bear on this list.
Is there anything else that
not that I think is good. I really don't.
The Salt, the Ice Dogs?
No.
No.
That's awful. Like, why are we doing this to ourselves?
You know what? They could go Utah Yetis. They could go Salt Lake City Sasquatch.
Honestly, of that entire thing, Yetis was the best name.
I like Salt Lake Sasquatch.
Yeah.
I guess it's a little more cartoony, but
I don't know.
Do we have any good ideas?
Yeti is one that's come up.
Yeah.
Grizzlies has come up. The Utah Grizzlies, I believe, were a thing back in the day. I don't know about like the legal repercussions of having to purchase that name, but
yeah.
Cool logo. Golden Eagles.
Question, who
do you keep Coyotes? You can't keep
Coyotes. No, you
Coyotes.
Can't keep. There's no way.
Right?
Who would their rival be? Would it be Colorado?
Probably. What's the least religious NHL? The Devils.
Oh.
The Devils.
Yeah.
I was going to say Florida, but Devils works
the Devils. So the Devils is going to be their biggest rivals.
Yes.
Good answer.
Am I wrong?
No, yes, but
that's a good point.
No, I mean, yes and no. How about
Eagles,
that?
Golden Eagles, Grizzlies.
I don't mind the Golden Eagles.
Yetis. I don't mind Golden Eagles. I've heard worse.
Yeah.
I've heard Cinnamon Bears. Text line has a bunch of them, Shan. Do you have the text line up right now?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to read a whole lot of them.
I think you should.
No,
there's a couple that you can't read. Yeah. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, probably won't.
6552, that's not getting read on the air.
No.
That's not happening.
Nope, definitely not.
One says the Utah Raptor was an actual dinosaur. I know. I understand the Utah Raptor was an actual dinosaur, but that's not the point.
I don't think Raptor can be I don't think that can be a hockey team.
You have to check in with the Hoop Dudes in Toronto, man.
Yeah, come on.
The Hoop Dudes, can't do it without the Hoop Dudes.
And the Hoop Dudes are playing some really good basketball right now, so that's a lie.
Aren't they done?
Yeah, they're very done. Salt Lake Saints?
That's not bad.
I don't know if they're gonna let that religion get involved, but
I mean, the New Orleans Saints would probably.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but
not be okay with that.
There's
plus, I don't think they want to lean into the religious thing.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. I don't think they want to. I know it's been a pretty common answer, but yeah, I'm not gonna read a whole lot of these. There's a Sasquatch, Golden Eagles. That one's interesting.
Utah Red Rocks.
Oh,
I like that.
It's creative. I just
some of you know these aren't getting read. I hope you are well aware.
Yeah. Like I think I can read like three of them. So
Shakers is there.
They're not gonna.
Oh, see, this one says Vegas is gonna be their biggest opponent, Sin City.
Oh, okay. Very good.
I had the Devils, but that's a much better one.
Yeah, I don't like. They're on the opposite side of the country.
Yeah, but I still think it works.
I can't read these. Like I
mean, you can.
No, I'm not going to.
Some of them you can't. Wolverines. Do we like that one?
Yeah, maybe. Utah Stingers. They have the Beehive State. I don't. I guess we could use like a bug.
Yeah.
The Blue Jackets used to have a bug on their jerseys, and they got rid of it. So
stop all of you
guys. I can't do this.
No, I mean, we can. It's just, it's not a good start.
Yeah, I like my job, though.
No, it's not. Okay, it's not anything that's going to get you
fired. This one's clean, and I like this
one. Some of them would get you fired. Some of them wouldn't. I think you're probably just too early to.
Yes.
Like, I'll tell you, the Sister Wives isn't happening. The Screaming Mormons is not happening. The Utah Five Wives is not happening. You know, like, I appreciate it.
Yep.
Salt Lake Cosmos.
I don't know enough about Salt Lake City or Utah to know like what symbols they could use. What resonates with the state? You know, I don't know.
Well, that's why the Grizzlies has been an idea.
Yeah.
You're trying to take off of local.
Oh, the Utah Buzz?
Ooh. See, I've seen Stingers.
I don't mind the Utah. I don't know what the Buzz would be, but I guess if they're the Beehive State.
Yeah, I've seen Stingers. Now, my junior high team was the Stinger, so I have a love for that. Yeah. I don't mind Stingers or Buzz. That's not a bad one.
There's no other insect connection in the NHL, right?
What's that stupid thing in Columbus?
Well, I know. I'm pretty sure their mascot's called Stinger, right?
I think he's a loser.
Wow.
How do you... Stupidest logo in hockey.
Okay. Wow.
I'm not... Am I wrong?
I don't know. Like the old logo with the green bug on it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's a little silly.
That's a loser.
We're calling mascots losers.
That guy specifically is.
Utah Flyovers.
Who's the biggest loser mascot? Oof.
That guy.
Really?
Stinger.
Okay.
Stinger can beat it.
Jeez.
The Salt Lake City Speed. Reference to the Salt Flats Speedway.
Oh.
I like it.
So I don't mind the name. I just don't know how you brand that.
Yeah.
Like the Hurricanes are in that same boat right now, whereas they just don't know what else to make a hurricane.
I don't think they should do anything else. I think the Hurricanes have it figured out.
They're trying to rebrand. They're trying to freshen it up.
Yeah, but why?
They can't. Money.
Okay, true. They should just go with the old jerseys.
So everybody rebrands,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a chance to
forgot about that whole
restack the
money thing.
The cashiers, man.
The Buzz were their old AAA baseball team.
See, I don't mind that. I kind of like pulling back like when the Hitmen did their run through the old Calgary teams,
yeah,
and the Wranglers and all that sort of stuff, and they kind of brought back some old school. And like you said, I don't know anything about Utah sports,
yeah,
culture. So if you want to go the Sting or the Buzz or whatever, then I'm all up for that, as long as you can make it cool and make it original. Don't
it have to be a bee, right? And then
a wasp of some sort.
I hate
whatever that. Most dangerous thing you.
No, or maybe a hornet.
Sure,
but I guess if they're the Beehive State, they kind of have to be a bee, right?
I think you can take some creative freedom.
You have to call the arena the Beehive.
Oh, that's perfect.
See, this is branding.
That's perfect.
You call the arena the Beehive, and then I have nothing else after that.
Thank you, Kim. Appreciate
it. Solid start.
It was good, and then you really fell off.
I'm taking interviews for rebranding this team. By the way,
yeah.
You know what? The text line loved this. This will be something to revisit once that announcement gets official, and we can continue to debate, and maybe we'll get less on the religious side of things next time we bring this up. Before we get out of here on this Tuesday edition of the program, did want to throw things over to the one and only Shan Vergy for our edition of the Jays Report.
Time now for the Jays Report on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Shan Vergy.
Series 2, Game 1 between the Blue Jays and the Yankees last night. Oswaldo Cabrera, he opened the scoring in the second with an RBI single just over the left side of the infield against Chris Bassitt. Yankee starter Luis Gil, he really struggled to locate his pitches last night, especially his fastball. 36 of his 99 pitches were fastballs outside of the zone. That's not great. The Jays took advantage of that early in the game, and with the bases loaded, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa brought home a runner to tie it in the second with an RBI walk. Gil followed that up by throwing a wild pitch in the dirt, and Alejandro Kirk reached home, followed by a George Springer groundout that gave Toronto a 2-1 lead heading into the third. Bottom of the third with two outs, Alejandro Kirk to the plate.
It's a fair ball. It's going to get down into the corner. Bichette will come in to score easily. And Alejandro Kirk with his first extra base hit of the season, and it drives in a run.
Kirk extends the Jays' lead, and that would actually be all for the rest of the game. Chris Bassitt finished with one earned run and five strikeouts through six and a third. Tim Meza and Chad Green carried the load until Jimmy Garcia picked up the save, facing Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, and Anthony Rizzo in the ninth. John Schneider spoke postgame about Chris Bassitt, starting with him getting back on track.
Really never thought he lost it. I mean, his stuff's been really good the whole year. He knows how to pitch. You know, slider was a really, really good pitch for him today. He's got seven other pitches, but I think kind of navigating even without his curveball really landing that, I thought he just made big pitch after big pitch. That's kind of what he does.
We spoke recently after his last start about his mound mannerisms and stuff like that. In terms of translating to his actual pitching, how does that level of control he has, or freedom, or whatever you want to call it, actually translate and help him out there?
Yeah, he puts thought into every single pitch, and I think when you see him bending down or talking to himself or whatever he's doing, he's got a plan for every pitch. And I think that being able to kind of reset himself, you know, with the clock and with all sorts of stuff, he's really good at that. And I think that's just kind of his process at this point.
Game 2 of the series gets going tonight. Carlos Rodon had a strong start to the season, will get the ball for New York. And Yusei Kikuchi will make his fourth start of the year for Toronto. Yusei has fared well against Aaron Judge throughout his career, allowing just 4 hits and 2 home runs in 20 at-bats with 9 strikeouts. Some great news for the Blue Jays, as Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson have both been reinstated from the 15-day IL. As a result, Nate Pearson has been sent to AAA, and Mitch White has been DFA'd. Some more great news, as Danny Jansen will make his season debut, getting the start behind the plate. First pitch is at 5:07. Enjoy the game. I'm Shan Vergy, and that was your Jays Report.
Catch the Blue Jays all season long, right here on Calgary's home of the Blue Jays, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Like a well-oiled machine. Great job, Shan. Another great Jays Report.
Seamless.
Appreciate that. Won't even know on the podcast, but speaking of the podcast, if you missed anything on our program today, chats with Ailish Forfar, Satyar Shah. We're checking in on the Flames in Vancouver. The podcast will have it for you. Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite pod catcher. If you listen live, shot us a text today. Really appreciate you. All the fun we had on the fan feedback line with the new Utah hockey team name. Enjoyed that quite a bit. Thanks to Shannon Cam for their great work. Appreciate it. Greg's been our outstanding intern with us as well. Thanks to him for everything on the program. We will be back on Thursday. Enjoy the Flames and the Vancouver Canucks. The final road game of the Calgary Flames season is coming your way. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. Signing off on another edition of Sportsnet today here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.